By definition, ambassadors are representatives of their sovereign and their nation. We have the privilege to discuss and represent our sovereign, Jesus Christ, and his kingdom for his glory. Join us as we seek him first. Welcome to Ambassador Talks.
Welcome to another edition of Ambassador Talks. Ambassador Talks is brought to you by Ambassador Baptist Church in Hudson, North Carolina. For more information, visit ambassadorbaptistchurch.org. We're here tonight, me and Pastor Setzer. I'm Nathan Phillips. We are here to talk to you about some current events happenings. It's a very specific movie documentary that's coming out. And it's following and covering a man that we've talked about on the podcast before, maybe in just passing in some comments. It's a former pastor. He has a podcast now and travels all around the country and various other countries teaching and preaching. I guess that's what he would call it. He is Rob Bell, and he wrote the book Love Wins a couple years ago, and we haven't really heard much from Rob recently. He kind of faded off the scene, but someone had approached him in a Christian Post article where we will refer to, and about this documentary that is being called Tongue in Cheek, The Heretic. It's a movie about him and his life, his teachings, and clearing up just some of the things that people believe that Rob Bell believes. You may remember a couple years ago he made waves with Love Wins when he said that there was basically no hell and that love wins over everyone at the end. He will talk about this in greater detail in the podcast, but he has, I guess, since redacted that and says that he believes in hell and that he thinks it's a very important doctrine. That's not the comments that we want to talk about tonight, and we'll get to those and certainly talk about those, but he has made some very interesting, to just be plain about it, just some very eye-opening statements about his theology, and we just want to cover them. Like I said, Pastor, I'm not out to heresy hunt. I'm not out to call names or label anyone. I like to talk about the pros and cons of everything that I can, but I'm not sure how many pros I'm gonna talk about tonight. I think he's steering a lot of people wrong. In recent times, we talked about this before we started recording that, William Young's The Shack is another modern piece of film and a book that has, I think, affected some people in some ways that they may not know. And we live in an age and an era where a 3-minute video on Facebook, a little snippet, will impress you and, you know, cause you to like certain things, and you may not really know what people believe or what they're saying. So, Pastor, we're going to talk about him tonight and some of his statements. I don't know if you want to have any opening statements or if you just want to dive right into what this article is about, but I guess here we go.
Well, as you said, we did not come up with the name. The name of the documentary is right. Rob Bell, Heretic.
I'm not assigning any label
right.
to him.
And so, not that I disagree with that, but and I think they're pulling that title from when Franklin Graham suggested right. that Bell is a heretic, but so that we might understand, because some words can be maybe loaded with perceived meaning that are not necessarily accurate. So let's let Mr. Merriam-Webster define heretic for us. And he hits that as a person who differs in opinion from established religious dogma. Mm-hmm. So with that definition, now that's not saying, we're not throwing rocks and hailing invectives against Mr. Bell. Mm-hmm. But I think based on that definition, Franklin Graham is right on target.
He certainly has aberrant views from orthodoxy. I can say that. So, if that's what we're saying heresy is, then I think he's on that track for sure. He's was a popular mega church pastor, so he has a big following. This isn't like some weird offshoot guy that we're just like harping on. We're not. We this I think is something that is important, because if there is a pro to any of this, it's the fact that he likes to engage people who have lost their faith.
Okay.
But
with that being said, Nathan, let me throw a quote out that Mr. Bell made and let you comment on that. And this was what he had said to the Los Angeles Times. He said, and I'm quoting, "I think for many people, spirituality, religion, God, Jesus, whatever, has been trivialized. I think we're way beyond one particular religion. We're about what does it mean to be human," unquote.
Yeah, I would like for him to unpack some of that for me, but I think I know what he's saying. If his views haven't changed too much from Love Wins, then that's a very universalist statement.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I can only go by his past work, in which I've read and saw some of his stuff on Love Wins, and it's a very universalist book. Like I said, his sent said that he believes in hell, and that he's not denying that part of Christianity, but he's refusing to use the term Christianity. So that's kind of what piqued my interest in this article. So the fact of the statement that you just read, that we're past one singular religion, I'm not sure what he means. Does he mean everything's okay? Or does he mean he has the true Gnostic religion here?
Well, let's take it one step further on another quote from Mr. Bell. I'm quoting again, "The religions have failed." Now, I don't know what he means when he says the religions have failed. If he had said denominations, I could understand a little better. He said, "So we are going through a revolution because these great traditions have to be expanded," unquote. Quote, he's saying that women's rights, LGBT, minorities, love of our Muslim neighbors, if those aren't all basics, we're done.
Call me a historicist, but I'm having a hard time believing that we can expound too much on what's been believed for the past 2,000 years on Christianity.
Listen, in the days of the Lord Jesus, under the Roman Empire, all you have to do is read how many numbers of historical volumes. They had their own, situations with homosexuality, but nowhere. Jesus doesn't. Paul definitely does. None of the apostles condone it. Rather, they condemn it.
And so I don't understand what he's coming from.
Women's rights? Goodness sakes, Nathan. Women have rights today because of Jesus, because of the church, because of Christianity. Just historically, again, check out women's rights, 1st, 2nd, 3rd, 5th, 10th century. What were they?
He seems to be very uninterested to me in talking about any type of history, and that the only thing we're concerned with is what the culture is today and where that's going. But that's a very dangerous thing. You can't let culture define truth.
Absolutely.
Truth defines culture. I mean, that's just paramount. I don't understand what he's saying. We've moved past a singular religion when you look at Christianity, and for 2,000 years, we've had creeds. There's creeds in the Bible. There is evidence from very early on what we believed back then, what we Christians believed, and it's the same thing we're believing today. And we'll talk about another statement here that he makes about the cross and things, but what are we missing? That's my question to him.
Nathan, listen, the Bible deals with the subject of such things as minorities all the way back to the Old Testament. It's referred to as the stranger, and God very plainly made it provided for them in the law. For example, some of the statutes like agricultural, reaping your fields.
That doesn't apply, right?
The law.
Yes,
Leviticus, Deuteronomy, there's great books. You know, they were not to reap, the extreme corners of the fields. Leave them for the widow. Leave them for the stranger. They weren't to defraud the stranger. So come on, give me a break here. God certainly makes provision. Look in the New Testament. Love your neighbors yourself.
Yeah, and he makes so many statements that we could just unpack and talk about ad nauseum. But you mentioned this one. And this is a big one for me, that Jesus himself has taken him beyond religion and into what it looks like to be human.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this whole humanistic viewpoint from what we like, we're some magical thing. I think that is just, that's a bad place to start. It's a good place to start if he means the other thing, that Jesus shows what it means to be human and that we're dead and dirt and can you know, have a heart of stone. I think that's a good place to start in realizing what we are to be human, but that's not what he's meaning here. It's almost like we are elevated in some sense of like what it means to really be human. What does it mean, Rob? Tell me. I don't.
You know, Nathan, I think that Mr. Bell and so many others of our culture love to step apart, step back, step aside from the words of Jesus and the Holy Scriptures. He certainly, and the Bible certainly defines what is human. What is man that thou art mindful of him? And human, we're talking about the incarnation of Christ when he took upon himself humanity to come to die for us poor, beggarly, lost sinners, you know? Yeah.
The other thing, this is the main thing that caught my attention that made me, you know, click on the article myself, is that Jesus would have been absolutely mortified that someone started a religion in his name. There's a lot wrong with that sentence. A lot. Well,
we're talking about Jesus Christ, and it's called Christianity, and what would Rob want to call it if it's the followers of Jesus Christ?
I'm laughing because I don't know where to start, in a way. Jesus would have been absolutely mortified. So, I understand, historically, that Christian was a pejorative term. Like that wasn't meant to be a compliment to us. That was, we were affectionately referred to as people of the way.
Yes.
And then they called us Christians in mocking us. However, there's nothing wrong with that term. It aptly describes what we are. And I don't know what else really to call us other than what the other term was, and that's people of the way, but that's still named after him, right? Because he said that, yeah, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So you could call us a number of things, but it's all going to be reflective of him. The second thing that I have a problem with that is that things were named after God in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Beth-El. Mm-hmm. Every time you see the L, that's God. I don't know what he's exactly trying to say here. Israel, things were named after God. They're the Israelites. I don't know where he's going.
I understand exactly what you're saying.
Things were named after God always. Places, significant things, and I don't know what else. I don't know. I don't know what the alternative is there.
Well, let's jump to this statement right here, Nathan. He criticized churches that singularly preach that those who don't believe in Jesus will go to hell, and, here's my point, questioned the belief that salvation comes simply through confession, repentance, and accepting Jesus.
Mm.
So then how does salvation come if it does not come through repentance, confession, and trusting Jesus? There is no salvation apart from Jesus.
Once again, it just seems like, I mean, we could talk about verse after verse after verse. If you confess with your mouth, I don't know. It's not like he's given these ideas and he's quoting Bible verses to back it up. He's just, you know, really saying some ideas, and they sound good to a non-religious group of people, probably. Like, oh yeah, that's exactly what Jesus was saying, but they don't know what Jesus was saying, because there's nothing biblically rooted here that I've come across. And the fact that he's denying, read that statement again.
He questioned the belief that salvation comes simply through confession, repentance, and accepting Jesus.
That's been the Christian faith for 2,000 years, but now it's not good enough.
Mm.
Now, I mean, that's been how a person is saved, confessing with your mouth, believing that Christ rose from the dead. If that's a simple belief, sign me up. I mean, that's,
well, you know, the Apostle Paul said in the epistle there to Timothy in 1 Timothy 3:15 that the church is the pillar and ground of the truth. We're not out rediscovering truth. The truth has been given. It's been written. And we are to be the caretakers of it. We are to be the propagators of it. We're not redefining it. We are simply proclaiming it.
Mm. Keeping with the salvific theme here, he also says this, that the sacrificial understanding of the cross belongs to a primitive cultural world we no longer inhabit.
Mm.
That is very
The title of the movie is very apt.
Well,
heretic.
Well, well, I said I wasn't going to call names. I'm going to try not to. You
didn't.
That's true. But the sacrificial, let me say it again, the sacrificial understanding of the cross belongs to a primitive cultural world we no longer inhabit. And I guess he's implying that we don't do sacrifices anymore, so they're not worth talking about. I guess that's the implication. And that my dear friend, Mr. Bell, that is a misunderstanding of the whole Bible. The whole Bible. It's been a sacrifice. Something has had to die in the place to cover man's sins ever since the garden, when God covered Adam and Eve with the skin of animals. Animals died. It lived on through the Abrahamic, the Noahic covenant, on to the new covenant where Jesus Christ sacrificed himself for our sins. It's the whole story of the Bible.
I think it's a rather, along with what you said, a rather arrogant, proud, and vain comment. Nathan, come on, who do we think we are? When we go back to the days of Jesus, and even prior to that, to the Greek philosophers, some of those men promulgated philosophies and views and concepts that will about boggle one's mind to try to understand it today. Is that not true?
Mm-hmm.
So what did they... What do they have that? What do we have that they don't have? We have electricity.
Mm.
That's about the size of it. You wouldn't have technology without electricity, okay? So
yep.
They didn't have that.
It's just it really goes back to a gross misunderstanding of history to me. That there's no, and really, that's our whole culture, really, when you boil it down to it, is that we're not willing to learn from history. And that also applies to the Bible when, it is written history. It's God's story. And this, that blew my mind when I read that there is some type of primitive nature to sacrifice that isn't biblical anymore, or at least any longer, according to him. It's something we've moved past that in culture. But that is the story of the entire Bible, that we need a substitute. That was the story when we placed our hands on the heads of a lamb and said, "This be me, you know, if I break the covenant," and which I have. And it's been the story ever since it started, that we need someone to fulfill what we couldn't. He did what we didn't do in the garden. He did what we didn't do with the law. And I don't know what that's Christianity. That's what that is. And if he's the one to do it, then that's the singular religion that I think we have to follow.
Really?
I don't know.
Well, I think Al Mohler pretty well hit it on the head when he alluded to the fact that, and he did compliment Mr. Bell, saying he was a master communicator.
And he is.
Yeah, he is a good communicator, I suppose. But he stated in his argument that Bell alienates love from justice and holiness.
Yeah.
And I agree.
Well, I mean, tons of motivational speakers are great communicators as well. That doesn't mean what they're preaching is true 100% all the time. I mean that that's neither here nor there. He is a good communicator. I think the last thing that we might could talk about here is getting back to coming full circle and talking about hell. So he's talking about, you know, this version of hell that he believes in, and he says, so the Bible, there's a whole chapter in the book about hell, and I think we should take hell very seriously. I think it exists, and so there being no hell isn't something that I believe. So he's come back on that, but he also says that that God, that I believe God gives people the right to say no, to resist, to refuse, to reject, to cling to their sins. And, you know, I mean, so far, so good. I mean, the wording may be off a little bit here and there, but I mean, people do refuse and reject and cling to their sins. And that is what sends them to hell. That's correct. But then he says something curious to me, to cling to their version of their story. That's, to me, there's just a very humanistic understanding behind all of his statements, and that their story somehow is an improvement or trumps. And he may not be saying this, but that's what it implies to me, that my story is more significant than the story of the Bible.
Well, it simply just parrots where we're at in American culture today.
That's where I was hoping you would go.
With our inflated views of ourselves.
My truth.
Yeah. My truth. Yeah. Absolutely.
I mean, that seems to be where the culture is going in general, is that, that's the Bible to you, but that's not the Bible to me. And while, you know, it's fine, and we disagree with denominations all over, you know, certain issues, but that's not us saying, well, that's the Bible to you and that's the Bible to me. We're all trying to be consistent and believe what we think the Bible teaches. But in this type of view, it's a free for all.
Well, you touched on the word hell a while ago, and we both know that anyone can use the word and define it according to their own meanings. To simply say that one believes in hell is not sufficient, unless that belief is defined as Jesus defined it, as the apostles, as the Old Testament defines it. You know, there are those who believe that, well, yes, there's a hell, but you just go poof, burn up, that's it, you're the end of it. Some who would believe in a purgatorial concept, that you're kind of, you know, working off sins, etc. But the Bible is very plain about what hell is. It's a very horrible place. And all you have to do to believe in hell is believe what Jesus had to do to procure our redemption.
I want to graciously disagree with Mr. Bell as much as I can. I don't know who could be listening to this podcast, who types in his name or what have you, and it comes up. So you never know. And I don't want anyone to think that I'm ungracious, but there's a huge problem with this. And absolutely, I think that if you study the Bible and that you explore it in its historical context and what Christianity has been for the past take it back 4,000-6,000 years. And I think you'll see a very consistent story, because God wrote it. God wrote the story of the Bible, and he is the source of truth. And that's just it. There's absolute truth. And if there's absolute truth, then we have to believe something about it and be consistent about it.
That would be a premise that we would encourage our listeners. We're not saying follow us. Right. Go to the Bible. Read the Bible. We're the most blessed generation that's ever lived on the face of the earth, mm-hmm, in regards to having access not only to the Bible, but to, goodness sakes, commentaries, interlinears. I mean, it's almost limitless how we can study the Bible and so much of it for free. So we would challenge our listeners, go to the book.
We put this resource, Two Guys in a Room Talking About Theology, we put that out there because it's so important to think about these things. You don't have to agree with us on everything, but it's, I think, what is important is that we all just strive and press toward the mark for the importance of Scripture and Scripture alone. And if Rob's not saying that, I would just have to implore him to seek God out and pray to him. And I just, the Word of God is the focal point of all history.
Mm, absolutely.
It is history.
Absolutely, it is. Yes.
And if he's saying, I don't know, I can't say without a shadow of a doubt what he's saying, but if he's saying that there's other truths and that we've had it wrong all this time, I'm going to have to respectfully disagree with him and say that, no, I'm going to go with the faith of the apostles, the prophets, and say that the word that has been established for thousands of years is the absolute truth that we must live our lives by.
Absolutely, and I would agree with that. And I would encourage our listeners to stay with sound doctrine, stay with the Word of God. Some of these men, I know they come up with a message, and you might say, well, I've been so offended by things. Well, hasn't everyone? You know, we are imperfect humans in an imperfect world, and sure, we'll be the first to admit that there's been abuses and problems, but it's not only in the church. It's in the world. It's all around us. We're flawed, depraved humans in need of redemption through Jesus Christ.
And, you know, Rob's right about one thing. There is no room for discrimination and hatred and things like that. I don't think Christianity is any place for that.
But, you know, Nathan, on the other side of that, not everyone who says they're a Christian is a Christian. That's, you know, true. How we've talked about the Westboro Baptist before, and how we don't claim affinity with those people or those types of people.
Right. We don't consider them Baptist or a church.
Yes.
I mean, I mean, that's the case. That's what Paul, that's what the Bible says. Not all Israel is true Israel, and that's it. And that's the way it's always been.
True.
And so we disagree, and we hope that you have found this this discussion about theology and Rob Bell very interesting, and hope that you don't just take our word for it, that you get in the Bible and that you read and that you seek out God's truth and the history of His truth as well, and understand that He has a salvation that is not just relative to culture, it's relative to humans, and that His salvation will save you from your sins and keep you from hell. That is most definite and sure.
Absolutely.
Thanks for listening to Ambassador Talks. We'll see you again next time.